This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report, the podcast that encourages you to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to hear about that from a man who has been as influential in our generation as anyone regarding the move of the Holy Spirit. It's Pat Robertson, who is well known as the founder and president of the 700 Club and many other ministries. I've known him known of him my whole life. I've been influenced by many of the things that he has done over the years. And now, all these years later, I have had the privilege of publishing his autobiography. It's called I Walked with the Living God, and it's my honor and privilege to interview Dr. Pat Robertson today on my podcast to talk about the book and to talk about his life. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, and welcome to you, Dr. Robertson. I have had the privilege to be on the 700 Club several times. It was always a highlight, and I have so much respect for you and CBN and everything that you've done. And I actually learned a whole lot in your book that I didn't know before. I thought I knew you pretty well. So what prompted you to write this autobiography at this point?
Well, you know, I was sharing with some friends some of the miracles that God has done. You know, I've lived 90 years and I have seen marvelous things. We have seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And I was sharing some of these stories. And my friend said, you know, you really need to write a book. And I thought, well, I hadn't thought about writing a book. And yet I began to write, and suddenly the Holy Spirit just took charge and began to bring to my mind things that had happened and the miracles. And, you know, over the years, I mean, as I say, at 90 years, I've walked with the living God. I have seen miracle after miracle. I've seen a university. I've seen a international broadcast ministry. I've seen all the other things. I've had encounters with demonic spirits. I have seen millions come to the Lord. I mean, it's been an exciting life. And so I put it down, and suddenly God began to just take charge. And really, I mean, he wrote this book. I like to take credit for it, but I believe the Lord brought it to my mind.
I believe you're right. And, of course, you've written many books, and there have been books. Well, you wrote the book, Shouted from the Housetops, with Jamie Buckingham. And I'm guessing it was the early 70s, because I can remember when I read it, and I was deeply impacted. I was just on the cusp of starting Charisma Magazine, very, very, very small. In fact, I was always encouraged by what you said about despise not the day of small beginnings. And, you know, that was only like, that would have been like maybe 10 or 12 or 13 years into the history of CBN, and that was a great book. And now CBN is, how old is it? It's probably nearly 60 years old.
Exactly. We went on the air. I mean, I organized the company in 1960, so you can figure how many years that's been since our existence.
Well, I know when you started it, you had one of your board members named Robert Walker, who was my friend and mentor. And in fact, in a lot of ways, I took on his publishing Christian life and all the other things he did. In fact, our book division is something that he started and we later took over. And he was one of your board members, I think, for many years. And I personally knew Neil Eskelin, one of your earliest employees. You know, most people would not know these names, but I was so interested to see names throughout the book of people I knew, even people like Dick Simmons and Harold Bredesen and others. I mean, it was such a marvelous insight, not only into these people, but their interaction with you and how God used them in your own life.
Well, you know, Robert Walker, I was on a board of something called Christian Soldiers, and we had a telephone ministry in downtown New York, and I was down to a prayer meeting. You know, they have those things in Washington, and I was coming back, and Robert Walker was there. And he asked me if I knew anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, I really have learned about it. I'd like to know more. And then he began to talk to me about the Holy Spirit. And then they introduced me to Harold Bredesen. And you know, Harold wouldn't stop until I came to the point where, you know, I had come into a deeper experience, and it was just wonderful. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in my living room when I prayed over my son, my oldest, my little boy. He was 2 or 3 years old. He was burning up with a fever, and he was beginning to convulse. I thought he might be facing permanent brain damage, and I was kneeling beside him. We had a little apartment in Queens, New York, and I was praying, God, heal him, please heal him. And as I was praying, the Lord said to me, you think you love him. I love him thousands of times more than you do. And I said, okay, Lord. And I just lifted him up in prayer into the presence of God. And at that moment, the power of God came upon him. The fever broke. He got up, went to the bathroom, and the next day he was completely healed. And I was so happy. I just wanted to praise God. And I began to praise the Lord. And out of my innermost being came this new language that I didn't know. And I began to speak and praise unto the God. And that was my introduction into the charismatic movement. It changed my life radically, and it's been a series of adventures ever since.
Amen. And of course, you have influenced greatly the charismatic movement as it has developed. It barely had a name, if it had a name, in 1960. In fact, I don't think we used the word charismatics until the Catholic renewal came by in 1967. But you know, this book is just full of stories like the one you told us. And each one is a chapter, and each chapter is short and pithy. And I enjoyed hearing about your childhood. And I knew that your father was a senator, but I didn't know many details. And I learned about your love of horseback riding. And, you know, that showed up in the book again and again. And then there's a picture section in the middle that is almost worth the price of the book just to see all these very interesting pictures.
Well, I've got pictures with myself with Ronald Reagan and George Bush when I was there in the White House, and I've got pictures of miracle rallies, and it's some pretty good stuff, including pictures of my beautiful wife, Dee Dee.
Yes, and of course your children, and I have the privilege of knowing both Gordon and Tim. I don't know your daughters, but, you know, the reader that reads this book is going to get to know you. They're going to get to know the real Pat Robertson. You know, everyone knows you. In fact, people may feel that this is funny, but the booksellers, especially, you know, the big boys like Walmart and so forth, they insisted we put your picture on the cover because your face is better known than your name, they thought. But yeah. I'll tell you something interesting, and this, I hope you don't get mad at me. I guess we can edit this out if you do. But the staff told me that you insisted that the word God, because the title is I Have Walked with the Living God, that God's name was in larger type than Pat Robertson. And that's something that people would not know. You know, that's not something that you needed to say, but apparently this was important to you. And so I just thought that I would mention that as a little anecdote that people wouldn't tend to know.
I wanted this book to emphasize the fact that it's God. You see, I have experienced, I mean, he's appeared to me, he's led me, and I wanted him to get the glory, and I hope this book glorifies him. And, you know, people there right now in this troubled world we're living in, people are desperate to have some reality. You know, is God real? Will he answer my prayer? Can I go to God and get an answer? Is everything just chaos? And I have seen, oh, it's been so wonderful. Year after year after year, God has spoken. He's brought forth things. And I wanted everybody to know that he's real. And so I want him to get the glory out of this book. And I didn't want my name to really be on it. My picture, I wanted the title to be I Walk with the Living God. And I wanted him to be prominent. But, the people at Walmart said, well, you got to have your picture on it. I said, okay, if that's what you want, I'll do it, but reluctantly so.
Well, this book is 287 pages. I read every page. I enjoyed every paragraph. I really did. There are 71 chapters plus an epilogue. And you know, I mentioned the early days and then your time in North Korea.
Yes.
And I didn't really know that part. You talk about law school. I didn't know that. You talk about John F. Kennedy and Jackie, you know, and on and on and on. And then a lot of your stories aren't just meeting people, but it's these things you talked about, the demonic things or the miracles that you saw in India or how you prayed the hurricane out to sea. You know, we had a hurricane down here in Florida the other day, and I was saying to myself, if Pat Roberts can pray this hurricane away, I need to exercise my faith.
You know, a lot of people made fun of me for that, but I was with a group of four gospel businessmen, and this hurricane was coming after our area. And the little organization I had founded, I knew that the tower would fall. I knew that the studio would be demolished. I didn't have the money to pick it up and start. I knew they would destroy us. And I reached my hand, and I had everybody in the audience. I said, let's point out to the Atlantic, and let's command that thing to turn around. And, you know, we commanded that thing and spoke just like Jesus did to the waves. And, you know, it was like a great big hand went down into the Atlantic Ocean, and like a great big dumb beast, that thing just slowly stopped its forward movement and began turning around, and then it slowly went back south, away from our area. It was a miracle, and it's recorded. You can look at the hurricane map that the Weather Service keeps. And it happened. People made a lot of fun of me about moving hurricanes, but it happened. I saw it. I was there. And the ministry we had was spared. And if that thing had hit, there would have been no CBL. I couldn't have had the money to come back. It was desperate. And I prayed in desperation, and God answered.
Well, I know that inspires a lot of people. And, you know, we could talk hours about each chapter of the book, but I want to hit some of the high points because, you know, you're probably best known, of course, for the 700 Club, and you still are on air. But really, your lasting legacy is going to probably be more some of the other things like Regent University and Operation Blessing. Most men don't ever build great organizations, and you've done it many, many times. And then you also ran for president. I mean, I remember 1988 very well. Full disclosure, I was a Democrat at the time, but I've seen the light since then. Yeah. But you were a Democrat, too, and you even talked about how you were in Adlai Stevenson's campaign at some kind of entry level.
I worked Stevenson for President Club on Staten Island. I remember going down to the ballroom where Stevenson was there. I had a chance to shake my candidate's hand. It was a big thrill. But I was the organizer on Staten Island, one of the boroughs of New York City, for Adlai Stevenson. And I was 55 years a Democrat. And then all of a sudden I realized that, what is the Bible? One verse said, after my eyes were opened, I turned to the right.
That's funny.
That's what happened.
The Democratic Party today is not the party of Adlai Stevenson and Harry Truman, that's for sure, or even JFK. It's just, you know, very sad what's happened.
Well, my father, you know, I've got a point in there. He went to Congress when I was 2 years old, and I laughingly said, you know, I first learned mama, then I learned daddy, then I learned constituent. I used to always hear, don't do that, because what will the constituents think? And so I had to behave myself because of the constituents. But I learned early on that, you know, the concept of noblesse oblige, I was sort of in the public spotlight, and my father, he was in Congress in the House of Representatives for about 13 years, I think it was, and then he was 20 years in the Senate, and he got to be, you know, right powerful. He was head of the Banking and Currency Commission. He was a key member of the Appropriations Committee. And there was some of the, you know, the old guard that were running the Senate. He was one of them. So it was an amazing ride. But I never would have dreamed until God showed me that I should run for president. And I've got all the stuff in the book about the ins and outs of politics. And, you know, some of the dirty tricks. I mean, I learned it all. They, you know, when you go for the presidency, they play hardball, and I learned hardball. And sometimes it isn't a fun game. It's contact sport out there. It's not a game they're playing when you're going for the presidency.
Well, that's true, and you know, having followed the news back in that day, I knew some of it. But your book has so much detail. There was detail, and it's what we writers call significant detail, you know, that added to the story. You weren't just opining, but you were telling things to draw the reader in, and you became alive, like a character becomes alive almost in a novel. At least that was my impression of it. And a very different book than Shout It from the Housetops, which I don't know, was maybe more about kind of the miracle of how CBN started. And you know, you told some of the same stories, or maybe I should say Jamie Buckingham, you know, helped you tell them.
Yes.
But how was it different writing this book and the first book? And then maybe we can talk about some of the other books that you've written.
Well, Shadow of the Housetops, really, Jamie wrote that book. This one, I didn't have a ghostwriter. I wrote this myself. I wrote the entire thing. You have co-writers. I wrote one called The New World Order that became one of the New York Times bestsellers. It was a major, major book, and I wrote a lot of it myself personally, but I also had a research writer who did a lot of the groundwork for me. But in this book, I Walk with the Living God, it is me. I mean, I wrote the whole thing, and it was just an inspiration of God. I dictated it because I wasn't writing. I used to write, you know, on a yellow pad with a pen, and this one I just dictated to my secretary. But it's like a conversation. I'm talking about things. You know, you mentioned that business about Jackie and Jack Kennedy. There was a lady named Mary Lasker who was a very prominent society figure in New York, and she had a friend named, well, they were trying to influence my father to get appropriations for the National Institutes of Health. And so this woman's name was Florence Mahoney, and she invited me to a dinner at the Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C. And I was there, and across the table from me was a young congressman whose name was Jack Kennedy. And he was one of the most pleasant people. He was so kind and gentle. I had a chance to talk to him. And his girlfriend was this kind of bright-eyed reporter from the Washington Times Herald, and her name was Jackie Bouvier. And somebody said, "What do you think of her?" I said, "Well, she's like kind of an ingenue, one of these young, bright-eyed actresses. She won't amount to anything. Kennedy is more serious than that." And the next thing you know, they were married, and I missed it totally. that's one. My prediction was totally off the mark on that one.
That's interesting. Let's talk about your book, The Secret Kingdom. That's the one that impacted me so much. I mean, I still live or try to live by some of those principles, you know, when your eyes are open to them, and I quote it all the time. Tell me your perspective on that book and maybe why you wrote it.
You know, when Jimmy Carter was running for president, I helped him in Pennsylvania, and we, you know, talked to him through a fellow who was a friend of mine. We talked and said, "Look, Mr. Carter, you're a Christian, and I want to give you a list of people who are Christians who are outstanding Democrats who I think would serve in your cabinet." So we sent him a list, and my man took it down to Plains, Georgia, and Carter looked at it, and he started to cry. And my guy later told me, he said he was so impressed that the work we'd done. And I said, "Brother, he's not impressed. He is sold out to the Trilateral Commission, and there's no way in the world he can do any of this." And that indeed was what happened. He appointed people strictly from the Rockefeller side of the camp, the Trilateral Commission, and he none of the people I suggested we even had got a look in. So I began to look at government, and I said, "God, how does government work? Would you show me how it works? I want to know." And so I prayed year after year. It took me 4 or 5 years. And during that time, Jesus showed me a principle, and that principle is this. If Jesus Christ is God, then whatever he says in relation to a factor that has nothing to do with the time or place or recipient, that becomes a universal principle that is important as the law of gravity. And so I took that. I said, all right, Lord, if that's the case, now show me principles in your word that are universal principles that are as applicable to human existence as the law of gravity. And he began to show me these laws. And out of that, I mean, I think about 10 laws, the law of use, the law of reciprocity. And I wrote that book on the basis of that. And I had, I think, 10 laws, the universal laws, the laws of the kingdom. And the book was The Secret Kingdom. And it was something that God himself gave me. It was Jesus Christ putting into effect. And, you know, one researcher for NBC said, well, you mean these are things just apply to Christians? I said, well, does law of gravity just apply to Christians? I said, no, this applies to everybody. These are laws that come. And the law of use is incredible, the law of perseverance. These laws control the way we live and the way we interact with human beings. And I wrote that that became a really a national bestseller. Unfortunately, the publisher we had didn't know what a hot book it was, but it was selling so fast. They sold out the first edition, 20,000, and they sold another and another and another and another. And it was a runaway number one Christian book of the year. It was really, I call it The Secret Kingdom.
Well, it met a need. It opened people's eyes, or at least that's how it affected me. And it was practical. It was something, you know, those of us who believe the Word of God, we, you know, it's like the preacher said, you believe the Bible from generation to revolution. But a lot of it is hard to understand, but you broke it down so that these principles were practical and people knew how to do it. It wasn't just a lot of do's and don'ts or a lot of stories, you know, of ancient people. It was practical, and that's what the Bible is, and that's how it's got to apply to our lives. And I believe that the Holy Spirit has to sort of open our spirits and open our eyes. What do you say?
Well, you know, there's no question. God made the world. He knows how it works. He knows about water. It doesn't run uphill, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, he knows about gravity. He knows about the laws. He made the heavens and the earth and all those who live in it. And he has principles of health, of nutrition, of all these things, and especially with exercise. I've got that law of use. And, you know, when I was doing my weightlifting thing, I got so I was popping some pretty heavy weight, and you know. But I used the law of use. And the exponential curve. You get used to one level, and then you add just a slight percentage to it, and then you add another percentage to it, and another percentage, and before long, it gets to be enormous. This it deals with the national debt. It deals with our relations to other nations. It will govern every single organization that you've ever heard of, because God is so practical. And so the Holy Spirit knows, he knows how we are, and he knows how to fix us. And so this book, I Walk with the Living God, I'm just showing, here's what God did for me, and I hope and pray that it will work for you. That's the whole idea.
That's the idea, and that's why people need to get it. This is an important book. All of us have so many books to read, but I think this is one of the best. Over my lifetime, I have read the biography or autobiography of many great men, you know, from Benjamin Franklin on down, and I believe that this is a book that people need to read and add to their library. I mean, I really think it's at that level, and I just want to tell you on a personal basis what an honor it was to publish it. I mean, I would have never thought that we would get a privilege like this, but we've had a publishing relationship with CBN for a number of years, and it's been positive, and it was time for this book to come out, and we made an offer and did it. And the book, I was in a meeting this morning. They told me the book is exceeding expectations. And so I hope that people will buy it. It's available really everywhere that books are sold. And it's a powerful book. I Have Walked with the Living God by Pat Robertson. And Dr. Robertson, we could talk for a long time, but these podcasts are short on purpose. People seem to have a short attention span. But I want to give you the last word and then maybe to ask you to pray for those who are listening.
All right. Well, I want to tell you what a pleasure it is working with your organization, too. You're great people, and everybody's so cooperative and so helpful. And the suggestions you all have made have enhanced what we've done. But I'm hoping that this will be a book that will transform not only America, but China and India and other countries where people are desperately seeking God. And they say, all right, if this is what this guy's been through and this is what God's done for him, he'll do it for me. And we can transform societies, at least God can, if we want to. But let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to write a book about your greatness. And I thank you for the Strang family, for the Charisma organization, and for the wonderful work they're doing. And I pray, Lord, for everybody listening to this podcast, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit might come upon them, that the eyes of their understanding might be open, that they might know the height, the depth, of the love of Jesus Christ, which passes comprehension. Lord, bless now your people. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.